Shut up and sit down.
Breakfast with Ben's podcast, talking hockey as we do once a week with Brian Metzer, the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. Metz always joins us in the hockey season to take a look at the latest round of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Metz hopefully had a good Thanksgiving. Hopefully it was better than the Penguins, even though they won on Wednesday and Friday. Based on every article that I read about American Thanksgiving, the Penguins are out of the playoffs already. There's no reason to keep the season going because as of conclusion of play on Wednesday night, even though they beat the Flames, they were in ninth place. So they weren't in a playoff slot, which means that they have to fold the tents and just forfeit the rest of the season, right?
You're right, Tim. I just got notification that I don't even have to work anymore this year. They just said, don't even bother. We're not going to broadcast the games. And we've resigned ourselves to the fact that the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to go quietly into the night. But so there it is. Thanksgiving ended up being nice, though. So there was that silver lining.
Yes, by Friday, they were back in it again. So I guess it slides depending on how you want to interpret U.S. Thanksgiving. Is it actually Thursday? Is it Wednesday at the conclusion of games? Is it Friday at the conclusion of games? Is it the weekend itself? Because technically right now, they're still in it in the eighth spot. But Mark Recchi, of all people, Mets, penned one of many columns using the American Thanksgiving barometer as the indicator as to whether or not teams are going to make the playoffs or not. This 25% quarter poll that says 75%, I think it was actually 76% of teams over the last 14 years, if you're in a playoff spot by the time Thanksgiving hits, you're going to make the playoffs. That was roughly true last year in the East. The only exception was the Bruins, and that was because they had only played, I think, 16 games by Thanksgiving because of the COVID misses that they had. They were the only ones who separated from the seven that got in from being in the playoff slot at Thanksgiving. So what do you think this year? Is it going to be as true this year, or are we going to see the giant chasm develop that we saw a year ago between the eight haves and the rest who were have-nots in the East? How do you interpret the way things look right now in the Penguins' state of being on the bubble at this point?
Well, there's different ways of looking at this, which is kind of interesting because I never looked at it this way. First of all, this is one of the years where Thanksgiving was later than normal. So that probably mitigates the other argument that I was just going to bring up, because on our postgame show from time to time when we talked about this same thing, because it is a hot topic in hockey circles, we brought up U.S. Thanksgiving. And Paul Seigerwald said the one night on our show, Tim, well, the season starts later now, too. It started on October 13th. So technically, it's almost a week or so later than the normal start. So maybe it's not Thanksgiving so much as the week after. But then when you push Thanksgiving back a week, how does that make it all come into view? So I do think it's still a pretty decent barometer because of the amount of games that's played. It's a quarter of the season, essentially, has been played before Thanksgiving most of the time.
Yeah, why don't they just say the 20-game mark and make it easy?
Yeah, I mean, because that's, if you look up and down the league, just about everybody has played 21 to 24 games, give or take. And so when you look at it that way, that seems like it's a decent barometer. Colorado is the only team I can see at a quick glance that's only played 19 so far, which, you know, kind of falls into that Bruins thinking a little bit where you said they had played 16 games. So for me, I think it's still important. And for the Penguins' sake, I think it was important to be in a playoff spot at this weekend that passed, simply because of where they were. When you look at the seven-game losing streak and where they were in the standings at the end of it, I believe it was 14th overall in the Eastern Conference, that is very ugly and not a good spot to be in. And I think that the jump back up at least into the top 8 to 10 teams is a good spot for the Penguins, because from here, we know that they are going to have their ebbs and flows. They'll reel off their 5- and 6-game winning streaks, and then they'll lose a few. But I think that once you get into that positioning, if you're collecting more points than you lose the rest of the way, you probably end up making it. So I'm happier with them being in this position than I was when they were in 14th. Because had they been in 14th at Thanksgiving, boy, we probably would have shuttered the tents, as you said, Tim, and gone home for the year.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network, pregame, postgame, intermission host, Pens and Hurricanes tonight on 105.9 The X. Be listening for Brian's analysis. You can also listen to him on Pens Live weekly on Saturday mornings with Paul Steigerwald. Mets, let's get to the Hurricanes game in just a second. I kind of wanted to stick with where the Penguins are at the quarter pole, though. I saw ESPN.com give out its grades for each team so far this season. They gave the Pens a B. We talk a lot about grading on a curve with Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think we have to grade on a different kind of curve from the Penguins' point of view, though. I'm curving my analysis a little bit more harshly for the Pens because with their collective age, I think they have to be better early than they might be late. In other words, the points that they left on the table with that 7-game losing streak, with all those blown leads that they had, that resonates more with me than to just give them a B because, well, they're in the 8th spot. Because I think they have to be better early than late. I don't expect them to be great late because I think they're going to be banged up. I think the age factor is going to catch up with them. So I think leaving some points on the table when they did, in between two hot streaks for that horrid 7-game losing streak, looms large, and I kind of look at them as a C-plus or B-minus. How about you?
Yeah, I think there is something to that, Tim. I don't know that I've been blown away by their performance this season as a whole. It started pretty effectively where they won 4 of the first 5, and then they just went into an ugly stretch that really almost made the opening look not as good. It wasn't nearly as impressive as we all thought it was. And then between the 24th of October and November 15th, they were one of the worst teams in the league. So at least in terms of the way they were losing and the way they were blowing those games, which is what you just pointed to. And I think when they do those power rankings, if you will, or grades, et cetera, because even when you look at early in the season, I think it was Dan Rosen on NHL Network and even EJ Raddick, they were putting the Penguins in their top 7 or 10 teams in the power rankings, even in the middle of that losing streak. And then they're like, oh, wait a minute, they've now lost this many in a row. So they dropped out of the rankings. And now you start to hear whispers based on this last stretch where they had the 5-game winning streak. I know they look pretty ugly against Toronto, but it's almost what have you done for me lately? So they see the Penguins on the winning streak. Oh, okay. They're okay. They're still the Pittsburgh Penguins. I will say this, Tim. I think a lot of the grading, though, is based on the fact that Sidney Crosby is having the kind of year that he has been having. I know that he has not been perfect defensively in some of these games. In fact, his line has looked pretty ugly in some of these games. But the fact that at his age, to be tied for the league lead in even strength scoring, to be 8th overall in the scoring race, to be nipping at the heels of the league leaders, I think that's pretty impressive stuff that has kind of put people in the mindset that, well, wait, these Penguins aren't done. But to your original point, I think they need to collect as many points as possible before the calendar flips because of what you mentioned. Age, fatigue's going to set in a little bit for some of these guys. You know as well as anybody, just having covered this team for eons like me, there are going to be guys that go on the shelf. They're going to lose a big name for a handful of games here or there. It's just the Penguin way, unfortunately. So when you have that looming, you do need to collect as many points as possible. So I think all of that kind of tells us that they could have done better than they did to this point. They shouldn't have lost 7 games in a row, that they're too talented still to have had that losing streak, and things like that could end up biting them in the backside whenever it comes down to jockeying for position and maybe even making the playoffs at the end of the year. If they're in a dogfight, Tim, for a wild card position, we're going to look at the 14 points lost in those games and say, well, sorry, 13 points because they did gain one in an overtime loss, and say those are huge points that could have made it a humongous difference in the standings.
They got to get more from that third line. You know, Carter's not doing anything. Kapanen, when he plays, doesn't do anything. McGinn's been fine. Heinen is ice cold, though.
Yep.
What's going on with that third line? How do they fix that?
Well, it sounds like there was some speculation yesterday that there could be a change today. I don't know that it's going to happen or not. I don't know that I would put Kasperi Kapanen back in the lineup yet, but that's something that Mike Sullivan could contemplate doing in favor of Danton Heinen. Last year when he scratched Heinen for a few games, he actually got him going goal scoring wise again. So maybe it's, you know, a one and done. You take a night off, you go sit down and watch, and then when you come back, maybe you're Danton Heinen again, because he started the season so hot, which is what he did last year too. So for me, I think part of the problem is the center that you're using there. And that's no knock on Jeff Carter, because they still think he's done some good things. Every game, it seems like some way, somehow, he manages a breakaway or two. He just doesn't finish anymore. And I don't know what we can do to get him to start scoring goals. because that, more than anything else, has made the line look even worse, because when he's had those opportunities, he's not been able to cash them in. McGinn was on fire at the start of November, and he was kind of carrying that load a little bit, even during the last three games of the losing. And then he's been up and down a little bit at this point. So what you may want to contemplate doing is, when you shuffle things up, and they won't do this, is flip-flop Teddy Bluger and Jeff Carter, give Bluger maybe the more minutes as a third-line center, and let him, because he's been great since he came back. Their power, or their penalty kill, has been perfect with Bluger since he got back. I believe it's 17 in a row now. His offensive game looks to be in order. His speed is noticeable. He's been able to create with guys such as Ryan Poehling and Josh Archibald. If you give him a couple more talented offensive players, maybe that could get them going and get Bluger going. Carter could play a little less minutes, maybe still be an offensive catalyst with those guys on the fourth line. And then you still have two guys capable of taking faceoffs, because Archibald can play center and Jeff Carter can play center. So they're not going to end up scratching a Jeff Carter. So that's why I'm suggesting maybe knock him down, put Bluger up, and see if just changing the centers around a little bit in the bottom six can get everybody going while keeping that level of productivity going on the fourth line. Because up to this point, since Bluger got back, that line's been pretty effective, and some of the nights has been a catalyst for them to either turn things around or get things going in some of these hockey games.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network, with us as he always is to talk hockey once a week on Breakfast with Bens. Okay, Mets, let's get to tonight's game. You'll be doing pregame, postgame, intermissions. You're doing everything tonight for this one. So what do you know about the Canes coming in? Looks like they've been going through a rut themselves of late before beating the Flames.
Yeah, I don't know that they're the same team that has been anointed as Eastern Conference champions as they have been the last 2 years. That's all you hear in the offseason is Carolina, Carolina, Carolina. They're 3-3-4 in their last 10. They've won one there, in their last game. But I don't know that anybody knew that Marty Natchez was going to be leading them in scoring at this point. He is. That's good for them, because they had high hopes whenever they brought him into their organization. But I still feel like they're not getting enough from some of their other big boys. Now, that said, I'm saying that whenever Aho and Svechnikov have combined for 45 points on the season. They probably are pleased with Brent Burns to this point. He's there, right there, fourth in scoring. But Kotkaniemi, who they brought in from Montreal, has been a dud. He's just 2 goals and 5 points in 22 games. I think they envisioned him blossoming a little bit more. Seth Jarvis hasn't blossomed the way they envisioned whenever they brought him in. So beyond their top six, and it's almost the same as we talk about the Penguins here, Tim, they're not getting enough productivity, I think, up and down their lineup. Then you have their goaltenders that I think have been okay. They've almost been spread out across the three guys that have dressed for them this year in terms of their games played. They all have goals against under three. Save percentages aren't terrible, but when you're not getting the goal support that you need, I think that's been a difference maker. So I think it's probably not a bad team for the Penguins to run into right now. They are still 500, but they're not scoring the way that we know that they have in the past. And this losing stretch that they're going through, they did go to overtime.
Four
of those five games, which is something that is you kill for if you're going to have a losing streak, because you still collect those quote unquote loser points. But in those games, they scored 2, 1, 3, were shut out. And then in their last overtime loss, they only scored 2. So the goal scoring that I just mentioned has been an issue there. And even when they've won games this year, if you look up and down, they have only scored more than 4. It's 1, 2, 3 times. So it's not like they are really lighting up in terms of the offense. So I think the Penguins, if they can get their offensive boat in order, be better in their defensive zone than we saw them play against the Toronto Maple Leafs, because they regressed to the way they were in the game when Sid's line went -5 on the night, except for him, because he did score a goal. He was only -4. But if they clean that up and score some goals against Carolina, I think they'll be in pretty decent position to pick up a much-needed victory to get them back on track this evening.
How'd you feel about the goaltending lately for Pittsburgh?
I think Jari has rounded a little bit back into form. And I think Casey DeSmith was under siege in the last game. Looking at Twitter, there were people ready to put him on a boat out of town, which I didn't agree with, because he didn't have much support. If you look at the way the game started in dubious fashion, just 40 seconds in, a terrible line change resulted in a breakaway for Mitch Marner. I called it the Medusa move because he just kind of went in and DeSmith never even moved. He turned him to stone. Beyond that, I think DeSmith was just under siege in the game. I mean, he was really under, you know, in some duress in terms of the shots he was facing. And I think that's why he didn't look so hot. But overall, I think that as big a part of their winning as anything in the last stretch here was their goalies turning it around a little, specifically Tristan Jarry. I know it wasn't pretty against Minnesota, but beyond that, in all those other games that Jarry played, I thought he was pretty solid. The goals he allowed weren't ones that you sat there and said, boy, he should ask for that one back. I thought DeSmith had dipped just a hair whenever he was given the 3 and 4 nights. He didn't look as good as he did in the first two games, and he kind of dropped off just a little bit. And I think that's why Sully went back to Tristan Jarry. But if they can get the kind of performance that they got from Jarry in this last, you know, 5-game stretch or so, I think they'll be just fine with that aspect of their game. But it's all hinges on them actually getting the defensive performance, though, because if you're going to leave guys completely unchecked in front of your goaltender, and they're not just, you know, Tim Benz or Brian Metzer in front of your goaltender, it's Mitchell Marner, it's Austin Matthews, it's the Connor McDavid type players of the NHL being left unchecked in the offensive zone, your goaltender's not going to be able to bail you out. And I think that's what we saw happening a bit during the losing as well.
Mets, as always, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Have a good broadcast tonight. And one thing before you go, have you ever in our fantasy football league seen somebody lose with 60 points as I did on Sunday?
It is a rarity, my friend, but unfortunately it happens. And it's just the second unfortunate aspect is you threw up over 90 last week. So 1 week ago, your score total would have been more than enough to beat
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly.
60 points.
Right.
So you proved that it could happen, but it was a heartbreaker. I know that our buddy Vince, who's in our league with us, who covers the Penguins Comedy Now, he's been leaving points on the bench in bunches. He's been disappointed about that. I will say, if I have one football fantasy, though, it is that you pull Deontay Johnson aside the next time you cover Steelers practice and ask him to just run forward, please.
Yeah, don't lose Metzer those fantasy points. That's what matters more than anything.
I can't stand it. You see a guy, hey, it's a 10-yard gain. Oh, wait, no, it's a 5-yard gain.
Mets, thanks. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it as always.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network, pregame, postgame, intermission tonight for the Carolina Hurricanes. Listen on Saturday for Pens Live Weekly.